So when I'm gonna want to go back to when we first met and started talking, I'd asked you. I was like, "How do you see me?"
You've been hiding in the shadows way too long. You always thought that you were weak, but babe, you're wrong. Yeah, you better step into the light. Just give it a try. Think that it's time you let that spark out. You've been hiding in the shadows way too long.
Hey, welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. I'm Robin, your host, and I'm a late bloomer just like you. We are a part of a rapidly growing, lesser known or even talked about subset of the queer community. We're a tribe, if you will. And if you're anything like me, when I came out, I was confused, scared. I felt like I was going crazy and I felt all alone and had nobody to talk to. Not to worry, you've come to the right place. In the Coming Out Late podcast, you'll hear real, raw, and relatable coming out late stories. You'll be inspired, informed, and educated, and you'll definitely feel supported. And you can stop feeling like you're living someone else's life and start living your own. So welcome. You have found your tribe. And welcome to the Coming Out Late podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Coming Out Late podcast. I am Robin, your host. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in and for sharing a part of your busy day with me today. I really, really do appreciate you listening. I hope you enjoyed last week's conversation between Chris and I about our experiences so far as a couple with gender identity, gender expression, sexuality, and the whole binary and non-binary topic. There's more of that to come in this part two episode, along with some pretty personal revealing discoveries Chris and I have made together. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this part two of my conversation with Chris about their gender identity and their gender journey as it continues to unfold. Enjoy!
And so when I'm going to want to go back to when we first met and started talking, I'd asked you, I was like, How do you see me? Because I had said I'd see myself more as an androgynous person. I didn't really know. That was the only word that I knew. And
I was afraid to say, because I didn't know if you perceived yourself. I thought maybe you perceived yourself as like just a lesbian. Mm. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
Because you turned it back to me. Because when I asked you, you were like, well, how do you see yourself?
Well,
and I was like,
oh. Because, yeah.
Well, that, I mean, and I realized too, like, really, that's
more important than more, how I see you.
Yeah. And so you were afraid to say that? Is that?
I was a little, well, it's kind of like asking a heavier set woman if she's pregnant, you know? And I also felt like it was less important how I saw you, more important how you saw you. Mm-hmm. So I was curious how you saw you. And then when you did answer, I said, yeah, I thought you were non-binary or androgynous. And I wasn't sure if that's what you were going to say, so I was a little nervous to say that. I didn't know how you might respond. And when I heard you said that, I'm like, all right, I can tell her.
And I think I had felt that for years. And I had a fascination. I don't remember if I told you this. I had a fascination with, there was a book that came out. Oh, I don't remember when it was. I have to look back. But it must have been, I think, maybe my kids were little, so maybe it was in, I don't know when it came out. I know I read it like in the late 90s, and might have been before the, it must have been before the kids, a while before the kids. It was called Middlesex, and it was about a woman who was androgynous, who had both organs, who had both, and I don't have both. I was not born.
She's intersex, not androgynous.
You're right, intersex. Intersex. So, and I don't even remember the story. I don't remember if, I think she had surgery and I don't remember how the, and she might have even identified as he. I don't remember now. But I was really fascinated with that story. And I also, well, I'm not going to get into this. It'd take us too far left. But there was a knowing in me.
Of my,
I mean, I guess we all, you have the incongruency of my true nature. And it's just interesting because you call it breadcrumbs. And I think this is like part of the breadcrumbs is, I don't know, is there really breadcrumbs or is it just like, yeah, what? I don't even know what breadcrumbs mean. I get it. And I've used that. I like the idea of breadcrumbs, but I'm just thinking like when we talk about the breadcrumbs, I almost think it's almost like, oh, like a peeling of the layer of seeing a little bit. These little moments of clarity, these little knowings that eventually come to like the...
That's what the breadcrumbs are for.
Right.
They're taking you a step closer, a step closer, a step closer to the full clarity of the knowing, or at least a bigger awakening.
Right.
But in my case, I was like, oh, breadcrumb. And I just kept walking. Like, isn't that nice?
That's good bread.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So this book, it was interesting now, like thinking back, and I wish I could remember when I read it. But
when we first started talking, when we first met, you kept talking about your fascination with people, with intersex people.
Yeah, right. Really cool. And I even had a funny experience when having the kids. I was worried. I was worried about my first daughter having both organs.
Wow.
So interesting.
Yeah.
But I mean, why? I don't think most people have that worry. So I think it's just always been something that's been in there for me. That there's like this. There are these two spirits. There's this like this third gender.
So that brings us right up to what we are in real time discovering about you.
Well, and before we go there, I do want to say that if you do identify, or how do I say this? I want to honor that this two-spirit, this third gender is something sacred to the Native Americans and to the indigenous people. And I don't know that it's something that is, how do they say it? That it's something that is really...
It's sacred to them and they honor it. And worship, actually, two-spirit. And I think they don't want people who are not indigenous or native...
Right, to be using this.
...using that label, because it then maybe waters it down, devalues it.
Yeah.
But I can kind of get that. Yeah. It'd be like me walking around calling myself an African-American, or saying that I understand what it's like to be an African-American. I don't, you know, and I never will. So, yeah, they are pretty protective of the two-spirit nature, two-spirit.
So... I do have, we've talked about this, I do have a little Native American, and I'm still not sure if it's proper for me to be using this term. And so I just wanted to say that and acknowledge that, and I'm going to explore that, and I just want to be careful with it.
Yeah,
so
that's
and
beautiful.
To honor that this is a sacred practice or
identity, a sacred...
Yeah, for the indigenous people.
And we're not throwing it around loosely.
Yeah.
I could not claim, if I wanted to be a two-spirit, I could not claim that. Whereas I think, Chris, given your genealogy, I think you can. Isn't even your Mexican side?
Yeah.
That's indigenous.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So I think you're two-spirit. And it really seems to speak to you.
Yeah, and it feels right.
Yeah.
And so with that said...
So... Yeah, and how does that apply to Chris and her recent discoveries? So when I first met Chris, I thought she might be androgynous, non-binary. Non-binary is a term that refers to any gender identity that isn't male or female. That's non-binary. And interestingly, androgynous refers to an outward appearance of an indeterminate gender. Like, you can't determine the gender. So while some non-binary people may express themselves with a gender that's indeterminable, not all non-binary people are androgynous. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, some of the women that I remember noticing, I couldn't tell if they were a boy or girl.
Yeah.
And that's an androgynous person.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting because I've had some of my kids... friends when I've been on, especially when they've been on social like Zoom, when they were on the Zoom calls during 2020, during the COVID, when we're stay at home, I would walk by the screen and I'd hear a kid go, oh, is that your dad? And so I think that sort of, you know, it applies. But I also think, and I don't know because I don't see myself as others would, but I also think that I do present a little more feminine.
Yeah.
So
non-binary might be more.
Yeah. It's so interesting. And with all that said, did we want to get to the...
Here's the big reveal.
Yeah, the big reveal. And I think I'm going to let you reveal it because it's more fun to hear you.
So I guess when I first met you, I thought you were either non-binary or just a regular old lesbian. But yet I also recognized that you have a masculine energy. You have more masculine energy, I think, on a regular basis consistently than I do. And I'm not sure where to go with this.
Well, okay. So then what we both discovered in watching me, I think you had noticed it first.
Yeah.
Is that I sort of have this, we've called like, and I
want to. Well, there are times when Chris begins to like, literally you can visually, I can see her transform in front of me, with mannerisms, body postures,
speech,
and even expressions, and it is not a masculine non-binary person, and it's really wild, and it's not something she controls necessarily.
No,
I think you suppress it.
Yeah. And it comes across as we've kind of called it gay boy.
And
when we say boy, we actually spell it B-O-I.
Yep, B-O-I.
Because it's not like a gay, I guess maybe it's a gay man, but that just is a young gay man. It's like a younger, yeah. And so I don't think I ever really saw it until maybe you identified it. And there will be times where I'll be mid-sentence and we both stop and start cracking up because we both see it.
Yeah.
And I do, and I can hear it. I hear it in my speech. I see it in my hands, the way I express with my hands. And my kids have seen it.
Yeah.
And just recently, I was talking to my older daughter, and I was using my hands, and I was like, "Oh, did you notice that?" And then she was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "What is that like?" And she said, "It's gay, Mom. You look gay when you do that." And wow. I didn't go into detail about what does that mean to you. But I think when she was saying gay, it wasn't like, "You look like a lesbian when you do this."
No.
It was more like...
A gay guy, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Probably. So there we are.
And I have to say, it's really confusing sometimes because I feel and see a masculine, non-binary, gorgeous human being in front of me, and then all of a sudden this young gay guy comes out, and it reminds me of, I've been doing a little bit of digging into, for all of you who listen to We Can Do Hard Things, she's recently had Dr. Schwartz on and did a whole thing about internal family systems and parts. It's almost as though this is another part of Chris, and he even says and really stands by it that we all have multiple parts in us, and he doesn't mean multiple personalities, although he can call them multiple personalities. We have multiple different people who show up. And it's not the disorder that he's describing. And I really see that. Like, gay boy, yeah. B-O-I, gay boy is a part of Chris. Yeah. And it's just, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really wild.
And more, it's interesting. It shows up.
Well, I think it's more and more because she's feeling comfortable around me. You know, I think it shows up mostly just you and I, when you and I are together. And I have to tell you, as the partner of someone who's been going through these explorations and inner deep dives, like, it has been beautiful to watch. I mean, heartwarming and sometimes heart-wrenching to know that she has been suppressing they. I think let's talk. Mm. Yeah, I think Chris now prefers to go by they, them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't know that I feel like, this is something I have to do or feel really strongly about. And as you have been, as Robin has been using those pronouns for me, it's been heartwarming for me and affirming.
Mm.
And I think it's also sort of, I'm going to come back to like, I don't necessarily feel like someone needs to give me permission, but there's like because of the acceptance, it's almost like welcoming.
Yes.
Like welcoming into me into this yourself. Exploration of, yeah. And so it's pretty fascinating. I think it's very fluid for me. Mm. And the more I can, I think really think that meditation has helped me a lot.
Wow.
Because the more I can just be the witness And I watch myself. I'm like, I'll have these moments of like, oh, wow, look. And the more I can be fluid, like the witness, to be accepting and open, and yeah. open, like compassionate, loving of whoever shows up, of whatever expression of me shows up, mm-hmm. the more that, well, I guess that the more I am, it's more fluid for me. It's more of that, like, that we come back to the swirl, the marbling of the energies.
Yeah. You're allowing all of the colors to come through, all the marbling to show. And it's almost like you're being able to exhale finally and say, this is me. And I'll be honest too. There were times I'd say, girl, and when we first started dating or something, when we first met, and I'd use the word girl with you. And I'm like, that doesn't feel right. And this was way before we've even gotten to the point of talking about the non-binary and whatever. Yeah. And I remember thinking, gosh, like, how do I bring that up to her? Like, I don't feel comfortable calling her girl, like in that way. And the same with she. There were times it was just like it didn't roll off my tongue comfortably. And
sometimes it almost does.
And sometimes it almost does. Interesting. It is strange. And like once or twice when I use they, it just felt very natural. I think the first, very recently, I think I used they.
Yeah, we say, and you, I think it's not as fluid yet for you.
No, it's not.
Or me.
And it felt very comfortable when I did use it. It's been such an exploration, and I am so grateful that I have an open mind, but my mind and heart have expanded way far. It's come a long way, let's just put it that way, because I love Chris to pieces, you know, I just love her to pieces and love all of her pieces. I love all your parts, and it's oops. She just gave me a look. Well, I all her personalities. I love everything.
Robin's
about
turning
her.
Red. So to come back to the, I want to wrap it up to like swing it back around where we started, which is about the rebirth, your birthday coming up, and my birthday, I guess, just having passed, and to just say that this is a huge. This rebirth or this birth is, there's so many facets, yeah. There's so many
levels.
Yeah. So nuanced. I don't know if that's the right word, that there's the discovery. There's going through all of the pieces of like coming out. And if you're married and if you have children, all of those bits.
Come from a religious background. I mean, there's like putting that all aside. And then there's just accepting you for you. And how are you going to show up in this world and keeping an open mind and have grace, have love and grace for yourself that this is an enormous cracking open.
I think so. And that's where I was going with it. This is a big exploration for all of us. I think that I want to also say, I think this is a very, really special community of not just our coming out late Facebook community that we have our support groups with as well. Just being a part of this, like, we're really, I think, grateful. This is, it's a really special, like, secret club.
But a
secret, which we said is we're looking for it to be a not secret club.
Exactly. And I'm really counting on the younger generation who are so brave and courageous and coming out and coming into themselves in all different ways. I feel like they're pushing the ball up the hill. And I was sharing with Chris the other day that we, as coming out late folks, are helping to pull that ball up the hill as well, because we're really moving the needle, I think, in liberating a lot of different ways of thinking, which is a necessity.
And it's hopefully people won't have to be in this position. And I'm sure there still will be people who are going to have these aha moments later in life, but maybe less than is happening now, because because it's changing and things are becoming more, it's changing back to, I think it's really changing back to something it was maybe thousands of years ago that we don't know, before colonization.
Yes. And that's a whole other podcast.
And with all of that said, being grateful for this like very special community that we have and like the bigger community. Mm-hmm. And I'm really grateful for the Coming Out Late community and our support groups and the exploration that we're having together. I'm really grateful. Yeah. And I want to invite, I really am hopeful that, actually I'll invite, if you're part of the Facebook community and you hear the podcast, I'd love to invite people to comment on, especially, well, either way, does this resonate on what level does it resonate, like how are you experiencing your coming out and your identity?
I'd like to invite anybody who has questions for me or Chris to either, you can post them in the Facebook group or send me an email to comingoutlater@gmail.com and we'll be happy to answer your questions next time we're together on this. And I'm really grateful for this. So I kind of feel as though there may be more people like Chris in our Facebook group and in our community. Maybe you're listening to this and you're not in the Facebook group yet. I really want to know if there is a need to have a support group for just this type of, identity and whatever, exploration. Exactly. Yeah. And if there is, Chris and I will create that right now. And I got to tell you, if you don't come to the support groups yet, you're missing out.
Yeah.
They have been incredible, incredible experiences and you don't have to share. You don't have to come on camera. You can just come and listen until you feel brave enough to participate. You're going to get a lot out of it even that way. You can listen from your car during your lunch hour or late at night. You can communicate with us through the chat. If you're not in a private area, you can just talk to us through the chat, but try to get to some of these support groups. The Monday night one starts at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. It's called the Messy Middle Monday. If that's the only one you can get to, you don't have to necessarily be in the messy middle. Just come and listen. As long as you've come out late, and you need support and want to hear other people tell their stories and be able to really be validated through that, and or come and tell your story. We heal when we hear other people's stories, and we heal when we are given the opportunity to tell our own stories. And they are safe spaces. I often say, just like I do in 12-step, who you see here and what you hear here, it stays there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just unbelievable conversations that we have. We cry together. We laugh together. We've been known to sing together. We have yet to dance together, but we'll do that. So yeah, and then the other one is Wednesday afternoons at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. We get people from, we get people from Ireland who's coming regularly, and the UK. We've got lots of UK folks.
Canadians.
The Canadians are coming. Get to that was my ADHD. Oh my God. Get to a support group. They're really, really worth it.
And
if any of this resonates with you, what you heard today, and you want Chris and I to start a group like this, support group, we will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's a really special niche that's not super represented.
I actually think if it brings up feelings of like, if it doesn't resonate, it almost brings up feelings of the opposite for you. Come, because because the exploration might surprise you, and it might just help build some compassion toward people who are going through these. At the very least, it might just build some compassion.
That's
and open heartedness, open mindedness.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Wow. So.
Well, I hope this landed with some people. We just felt a real desire, a strong desire to start sharing like our journey, Chris and my journey, openly and honestly with you. And I really, really, really want to give props to Chris for being so vulnerable and transparent and open and honest and willing to talk about her story. It's been fascinating to be a part of.
Mm.
And and like I said, if you have any questions for either of us, send me an email to comingoutlater@gmail.com. I'll make sure Chris gets it if it's for her, and or post some questions or thoughts. how did this land with you? Do you want to hear more about this? Do you want us to start a support group?
And I want to thank you, Robin, because you've been so perfect and in allowing me to really express who I am and parts of me that I don't even think I knew were there, but because you've been so open-hearted and welcoming in every way, just allowing it to come naturally, organically, for, I guess, a lack of a better word. Yeah, I'm really grateful. And
grateful you trust me with this journey. And somehow I feel like I've known some of this before you have.
Probably.
I almost feel like I'm not surprised.
I've been the last one to know in a lot of this.
Oh my God, that's so true.
Yeah.
People
have said to me, I can't wait until you figure out you're gay.
Oh my gosh.
There was even more than that. So thank you.
Thank you. Kitchen closed?
The kitchen is closed.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! All right. Till next time.
Whew, I hope you enjoyed my very real and very personal conversation and exploration I had with Chris. It's fascinating to us and a journey that we will continue to explore together and maybe even share more with you, so stay tuned. If you too are wondering, exploring, or are just curious about how you wish to identify and be seen, Chris and I are seriously thinking about starting up a special support group for these kinds of explorative conversations. So if you're interested, please send me an email to comingoutlater@gmail.com and Chris and I will get one started. Until then, here are some announcements. If you get value from listening to my weekly podcast, I invite you to please show your appreciation by buying me a virtual coffee. All you have to do is go to the website buymeacoffee.com/Robin Douglas, RobinDouglass. I'd like to thank you all who have recently bought me a coffee or coffees, as well as all of you who have purchased coffees for me in the past. I really appreciate your support, and it does make a difference and means the world to Hugo and me. So thank you. Did you know I offer private one-on-one coaching? If you are struggling to make sense of and manage your coming out late journey, then I encourage you to send me an email and request information about my one-on-one coaching services. It really does make a big difference to have someone like myself who really understands what you're going through. Just email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com to request my coaching information sheet. Retreats. As far as the Coming Out Late retreats go, the retreat schedule for 2024 is shaping up nicely. The purpose of my Coming Out Late retreats is really to build community, make connections, and experience this newish out gay life with a small, trusted group of queer women, all while having a ton of fun in the process. We are kicking off our Coming Out Late retreats with a trip out to Portland, Oregon. Yay! We've been getting a huge amount of requests from people to come out to the Pacific Northwest, so here we come, and that's going to be in August. Then we travel back up to Up North Pride Festivities, which is taking place in Traverse City, Michigan, from September 25th to September 29th. And from there, we move on to Women's Week in Provincetown, Massachusetts, October 16th through the 20th. And if you want to be put on the waiting list for any of these Coming Out Late retreat locations, email me at comingoutlater@gmail.com and you'll be put on the group email list. That's all I have for you for now. But in the meantime, be good. And if you can't be good, then at least be good at it. And remember, it's better late than never, because it's never too late. Carpe vita, everyone. Seize life. If you're looking for your people, your community, and a safe place to learn and get answers to your questions, then come join the conversation. Come join us in our private Facebook group, Coming Out Late, because we all know it's better late than never, and it's never too late. So-